listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to do the, what I call, and other people have called, the deep dive. And what I mean by the deep dive is that you look at, you examine, you research, check things out from a broad spectrum of sources so that you can arrive at the point, I don't know if you could ever quote arrive, but you move towards the point of understanding what's happening, comprehending what's happening, what happened in the past, how what happened in the past created largely what has happened in the present, And from there, you analyze the past, present, and there you have a pretty good fix on what's going to happen in the future. Or, as the big question is, what happens next? Everybody's asking the question, what happens next? Now, none of us can predict or analyze or hypothesize precisely exactly what's going to happen next in its entirety. But we can, you can, and never be dissuaded from believing that it's possible for you, no matter what your, quote, so-called educational experience has been. Never doubt for a moment that it's possible for you to deduce, to comprehend, to a significant extent, what's going to happen next. And before I get into it, I want to explain why. You know, one of the most evil things that has happened in our world in the last, well, it goes back to ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, but America was and is still, to a large degree, a unique and different nation because it has completely unique and different freedoms, guarantees of freedoms. And America is built on a philosophical or ideological foundation that is different than the rest of the world. Oh, what do I mean by that? America is the only nation on planet Earth right now that still, to a significant degree, let's not kid ourselves, as a nation, we backslid quite a way, but still America is built upon the foundation of biblical thinking, biblical ideas, biblical beliefs, and what could be called a biblical worldview. And it's only because America is built on a biblical worldview that we have all these freedoms that we have. You take away that foundation of a biblical worldview, which many people are attempting to do. Right now, while you and I are alive, forever, however long God has planned for us to be here on planet Earth or until he returns, right now, as we are communing together, so to speak, there are powerful, covert enemies attempting to destroy America from within. And their primary mechanism for doing that is to detonate and to destroy a biblical worldview upon which our entire nation, society, and culture is built upon. That's huge. You see, the mass media is designed to enslave you. That's its primary purpose. The mass media, its purpose is not to entertain you. Its purpose is not to inform you. In fact, I had to restrain myself from laughing when I said its purpose is not to inform you. Because the idea that the mass media or the entertainment industry is in any way, shape, or form intending to educate you or communicate the truth is laughable. If you believe that, you're insane. Its whole purpose is to hypnotize you, to bamboozle you, if you will, to use a outdated expression, to pull the wool over your eyes by distorting the truth. That's the purpose of the media. So when I said it's important for you to know that you can yourself largely know, largely understand to a significant degree what is going to happen next, and you must never be afraid of embracing or owning that truth. Again, the media, the entertainment system, the educational system, all the basic systems of our society are created and built to blind you from the truth, to conceal the truth from you. And one of the most powerful truths they want to conceal from you is the fact that there is a God, and this God is the infinite, personal, living God of the universe, the biblical God, and that this biblical God created every man and woman with the innate potential brain power, the potential perception, the potential understanding. God gave that to every man and woman. He gave them the power to perceive, the power to understand, the power to think, the power to acquire knowledge. And if you happen to be not just a man or a woman, but if you happen to be somebody who has received Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you're born again, then you're a child of God. And because the Spirit of God lives in you, you then have, on top of all that, you have this massive, incredible, awesome enhancement, which is called the mind of Christ. And when you learn how to exercise by faith in Christ and by renewing your mind with the Word of God, when you learn how to, by faith, exercise the mind of Christ, then you, at any time you choose to, can look at reality or parts of reality, and you can, because you have the mind of Christ in you, you can see or analyze or hypothesize what's going to happen next and other things. Now, we're getting close to the primary target of this program. And I do programs like this, not because I don't have anything better to do, because I do have things better to do. And when I say better to do, I'm not saying I have things to do that are more important. Nothing's more important to me than talking and communicating with you and other people listening or watching all around the world. Nothing is more important to me than that in terms of priority. Please don't misunderstand me, because if I, by the grace of God, effectively communicate truth to you and whoever else, then Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So I consider it a privilege, an incredible privilege, to be able to communicate to you. And I don't have a pride factor in it, because being given the privilege by God to communicate to people is a humbling experience. I mean, if you're halfway sane, it's a humbling experience. If you have a psychopathic personality or a sociopath personality, well, then you just would feed on the energy of it like a vampire. But I'm not a vampire. I'm not a sociopath or a psychopath. I'm just an ordinary person like you are. So I wanna communicate as effectively as I can to you this truth that God's given you the power to largely come to terms with things like what's going to happen next, those answers that you need. We all need those answers. Why do we need those answers? Because the times that we're in right now, and we're in the last days, and nobody knows the time when Christ will return. Nobody knows how long it will be until Christ returns. But that's up to God. But between now and then, whenever then is, we are called for a mission, an assignment. We have a plan and a destiny from God. You have all that built into you, into your DNA. So it's my greatest desire, and it's my prayer. I hope, would hope that all the people who have chosen to be prayer warriors with this ministry would pray for people like you listening, that the Lord would open your eyes by the power of His Holy Spirit, and you would see the things you need to see, especially when it comes to stuff like coming to terms with what happens next. Now, why this is important to me? I mean, it is important to me. And let me share something with you that's, well, I don't think I've ever shared it publicly. So let me attempt to. You know, when you do what I do, which when you boil it down, is the work of an evangelist, the work of a minister, the work of a Bible teacher that uses contemporary technology and language, etc., to reach people. You do the best you can. You pray. You are prayed up. You read the word. You call out to God for His Spirit to move. And then by faith, you just start talking in front of a microphone. You have notes with you. And in my case, I print my notes out from the computer, and I have, around where I'm sitting in the studio right now, I have stacks of books. Many are my own books, and many are other people's books. And of course, I have a number of Bibles, etc., etc. So I can just grab something if I need it. Now, ever since these crisis events have hit America and the world, beginning with the release of the pandemic that spread across the world, and then all the subsequent crisis events which have occurred after that, I mean, it has significantly shaken things up. On top of that, we've had very intense, to say the least, an extremely intense political and voting season and political climate, especially in the U.S. So that, too, provides kind of like the aftershock of chaos and continuing aftershocks of chaos. So the psychologists tell us, the psychiatrists tell us, not that they know everything, they certainly don't, that people are experiencing right now a high degree of insecurity, probably that's not the best word, anxiety, apprehension, fear, and other stressful emotions and thoughts, because they don't know the answer to the question, what's going to happen next, and how do you deal with it? It's not enough, don't you agree? It's not enough to know what's going to happen next if you don't have the knowledge, the information to know how to deal with what happens next. I mean, let's say what happens next is going to be challenging. I would say, right, it is going to be challenging. But just to know that isn't going to do you a whole lot of good. It might just freak you out. But that's not a good situation. So I believe, and this is something I've always believed strongly, it's a core belief I have as a believer in Jesus Christ. And this core belief is this: from the time that I began to study Bible prophecy, which was a long time ago, from the time that I began to write books on Bible prophecy, which was a long time ago, one of the things that always resonated in my heart and mind was this inner sense of a call from God, a burden from God, to not only teach faithfully and accurately the Word of God in terms of Bible prophecy, but to also, I'd like to underline this if I was talking to you with a chalkboard or something behind me or some kind of laptop, I would underline this part, not only educating people regarding Bible prophecy all over the world, which is one of our prime missions here at Paul McGuire Ministries, but to prepare people on how to deal with future events and what's coming. Because what good is it if you know what's going to happen, but you don't know how to deal with it? You don't have a plan. You don't have a plan and a mechanism that will work for you for survival, but not just survival, for being an overcomer. So that's my greatest desire in communicating to you. Now, the private part is that after I walk out of the studio, I'm still thinking about what I said after I walk out of the studio. I often, almost regularly, discuss it with my wife, Chris. I think about it in the middle of the night, often. Something that's part of my life is that I will often wake up in the middle of the night, awakened from a deep dream state and stuff. And when I'm awakened in the middle of the night, sometimes answers will come to me. Sometimes clarity and understanding comes to me. Sometimes I can't solve a problem. Problems like an equation. I wake up in the middle of the night and it's like I can see the solution. I can see the answer. And I don't know if that's something that everybody does, but I do. The Lord often will give me solutions and answers and guidance and direction by waking me up in the middle of the night. Sometimes He'll wake me up in the middle of the night and give me a burden for somebody, for some situation. And look, I'm not big on being woken up and staying up for hours. Some people do that. That's great. It's not the way I'm built, but I will stay up, I might stay up for an hour or 2 hours or whatever and pray, intensely pray, especially when God gives me a burden. The point is that it's in these times of waking up in the middle of the night where the Lord will often give me the solutions, the answers I'm looking for, the problem-solving stuff comes to my mind when the Lord wakes me up in the middle of the night. Oftentimes when I talk to people that I know, either people that I minister to through Paradise Mountain Church, and by the way, if you are someone who was regularly attending Paradise Mountain Church, my prayers are with you. We try to look at the names of the people, or obviously I remember the names of people and faces of people, and pray because the Lord will put somebody on my heart and I'll pray for them. because the Lord will give me a burden. And the key is that the Lord would not only protect them, provide for them, fight the spiritual battle for them, but when it comes to what happens next, the Lord would show them and show them how to be an overcomer and be victorious in that zone we call what happens next. Now, am I making any sense? Okay. Another thing is when I talk to people, whether people I minister to or people I meet in ministry or regarding books or outreaches or evangelism or whatever, I will often tell people that I can't give you an answer until I sleep on it. And this is a firm rule I have, because I've found that it's very dangerous for me to make a final decision, especially if it's something that's important. It's very dangerous to make a final decision, I believe, without spending time seeking the Lord, without discussing it with key people in your life, and without sleeping over it. And people sometimes get a little annoyed with me because I don't give them an answer right away. But I don't, because I've learned from many years of being alive on planet Earth that it's only after I've slept over a potential decision. Many times it's just one night. I can sleep over it and I wake up the next morning and I'll know what my decision is. Because all of a sudden, that which is unclear becomes clear after sleeping over it. Sometimes I'll sleep over it night after night, or every other night. It could go on for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days. Sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes a month or longer, and people get exasperated. Yeah, but I would rather risk them being exasperated than make a decision without hearing from the Lord. And I have found the Lord speaks to me most often with clarity and completion and answers and solving problems and all that stuff that is somewhat miraculous and supernatural. It only comes to me after sleeping over it consecutive nights, because I believe that God, the way God constructed us with our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, a lot of things scientists don't understand, but we all understand it to a degree, that things which are unclear, things which you don't know which way to go, when you sleep over it, you pray over it, it becomes clear. There's a balance between thinking about something with your conscious mind, which you should do, doing all the research and homework you need to make an intelligent decision, which you should do, talking to wise counselors, which you should do, and then sleeping over it. It's a combination of the two. So let me give you an example. Many, many times in my life, I'll have to make a decision. Something gets shoved in my face or whatever. And it will require an immediate... What it will require is that I have to be able to download or get a whole lot of detailed, complex information on any number of subjects before I can make a hopefully intelligent decision about something. See, I'm not a victim. You're not a victim. So you can look up documents. You can look up laws. You can look up biological questions. You can look up medical questions. You can look up financial questions if you know where to look. And of course, you always want to compare and contrast numerous credible sources. So I do that. And then after sleeping over it, what I found, I could spend, let's say, 3 hours reading documentation that has to do with law or medicine or biology or something like that. Okay. And it's at night. And I think I have a basic understanding. I think I have enough information to make a decision. But I'm not going to make a decision until I sleep on it. But I've put all that information into my brain, right? Like you do. But I find that after I sleep on it, that all of a sudden, my understanding of information that I digested, all of a sudden it comes alive. All of a sudden, I have a much, much deeper and a much, much clearer understanding of the information I've digested. And many of the things that I missed just through reading it, the light is shining on it. So again, it's a combination of rational, awake, learning, self-education, and study of material. This is how you avoid disaster, by the way, in your life. I'm trying to share something with you as a Bible teacher, because what I'm sharing with you now, I take very seriously. I practice this personally. This isn't esoteric for me. This isn't theoretical. This is not imaginary for me. This is where the rubber meets the road for me. This is how I live my life. And I believe that there are people listening. Maybe you have developed your own system. Well, I don't want to dissuade you from exercising your own system. But if anything that I'm sharing, which essentially comes out of my walk, my personal intimate walk with God, if anything I'm sharing could be of help for you, that would be my greatest joy to help set you free. So you assimilate all this information and knowledge because you have to. Believe me, I don't like having to assimilate knowledge all the time. But what I've found, and you probably have too, we live in an unnecessarily complicated world where everything has a potential headache factor. Now, you may be different than me, but like I don't want to spend 3 hours reading a pamphlet or reading the internet. An instruction manual on how to program not a simple remote, some advanced remote, or how to configure some kind of operating system or app stuff. My life is just too busy to spend 3 or 4 hours putzing around with that stuff. So I read it, and my habit, and some of you would disagree, is to digest the information as accurately and as quickly as I can. The risk in that is that you can get a superficial understanding and make mistakes. But most of the time, after I've slept over it and studied the material, then I'm ready to begin operation of whatever kind. All right, so here's the thing. People have all experienced in the United States and around the world all of these negative, confusing, upsetting, uncertain impact effects of the pandemic, of the financial thing, of the psychological, emotional effects of various forms of quarantine, isolation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? We've all been through this. So people want to know what's going to happen next. Now, here is the first thing I would say. After laying out a game plan, which I hope I just did for you, after laying out a game plan, then you, depending upon the situation, the way you find out accurate information about what happens next, now this is not something they teach you in a church, shame on them. This is not something that they teach you in the educational system. Shame on them. This is not something they teach you in the media, so-called news or entertainment. Shame on them. But one of the fastest ways to get a generalized but powerful understanding of, quote, what's going to happen next regarding our time period is to look at history And I can't emphasize this enough. That old expression, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Going back to the beginning of mankind, going back to the Old Testament, going back to the New Testament, going back to all the civilizations and cultures and societies that have existed on planet Earth for thousands of years, if you study history, you are going to see numerous historical examples, numerous facts in history where we are taught about in history, we're taught about economic crisis, geopolitical crisis, social crisis, previous crises with plagues and disease outbreaks, the results of war, the results of inflation financially. None of this stuff is new. None of the stuff that we're experiencing right now is new. And that's another important critical teaching principle to understand. Now, it is true that in the time zone we live in, what we do have now is relatively advanced technology, science, artificial intelligence, computer technology, and all kinds of inventions and creations that are technology, physics, science, biology, genetics, driven. That does make our time period different to a significant degree. So when we're trying to map out what happens next, we have to incorporate one way or another the reality of all these sciences and technology. But for the most part, history consistently repeats itself. I mean, you can count on it. History repeats itself, and if you look at history even briefly, you'll know exactly how we got where we are, and you'll know exactly or significantly where we're going, or we'll have the answer to the question, what happens next? Why? Because we look at the lesson of history, and history inevitably repeats itself. Now, that is such a powerful tool for you and me and anyone. It's a powerful tool because it will break any prison cell you may find yourself in. Learning the lessons of history is not some self-indulgent, idiosyncrasy. It's not. And I'm only saying this because I caught part of the interview with Oprah Winfrey. This is not some self-indulgent history of the crown and the royal family and their very peculiar private rules and secret agreements and stuff. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about bread and butter, meat and potatoes, basic history. Okay? Now, if you will devote, now, you know, you don't have to go get a PhD in history. You will do a little reading. You do a little reading from a trustworthy source or listen to somebody like me or whatever. And hopefully I will digest for you accurately some historical understanding for you. But this is how you get knowledge, and it's by getting knowledge that you get power. And this is how you get to know the truth. The truth about what? The truth and knowledge about history. And the truth will set you free. So you'll be able to answer the question, what happens next? You won't be walking around in the dark like most Christians. And I think, I'm going to let loose for a minute. Forgive me for venting, but I have to, if I don't vent, I'll have a quarantined mental meltdown. shame on pastors and Christians and Christian leaders and Christian ministries and Christian media, shame on those of them that deprive teaching their people the basics of history. And then in the teaching process, they should be integrating the lessons of history with the lessons of the Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testaments, and all the New Testament and all the principles of God's Word. Okay? So, how do we approach the answer to the question, what happens next, that everybody wants to know? Well, let's start with the starters. In order to get the answer to what happens next, you have to pursue the truth and knowledge, which is power. If you're looking to false prophets who are issuing false prophecies, which clearly did not come true, in fact, the opposite of what they prophesied came true, then you're going to step in some kind of abyss. You're going to experience disaster. Why? Why would you experience disaster? Because it's the truth that sets you free. Lies, and that's what false prophecy is, or false prophets are all about, lies put you in slavery or bondage. Lies come from the devil. Satan is the father of lies. So when you go to sources that are lying to you in the form of false prophecy, false teaching, false dreams, false revelations, then you're going to come away not with knowledge, not with truth, but with falsehood. And with that comes destruction. So you have all these people. Let's get real. Really, let's get real. You have all these people who proclaimed all these false prophecies, all these false dreams, all these false visions, and false teachings, false prophecies, false prophets, and all this falsehood regarding the outcome of the election, what was going to happen with Donald Trump, what was going to happen with the economy, what was going to happen with God's people, what was going to happen in terms of, you know, a great revival or no great revival. And you have all these, a very significant number of Christians following after not God and not God's word, not following after true leaders and Bible teachers and ministers of God, but following after the false prophets, the false teachers who have the false dreams and stuff. And then you make important life decisions, like where you're going to live. Should you buy or sell your house or apartment or whatever? Should you take this job or that job? I mean, what's going to happen next is that's the basis on how you chart your course in life. So you've been given false information. So, right up into the last moment, we have an election. Yeah, we all know that the election was extremely problematic. Not disputing that. But to say you're a prophet of God, you're supposed to deliver an accurate prophecy. So you have all these people who said, God told me, God showed me, whatever, that Donald Trump would miraculously win a second term in office. Okay, the jury's still out for another election, okay? And there are remote, but potential, but still very remote possibilities of, you know, some kind of election or something that potentially, but very, very, very remotely, would put him back into office. At least at this moment, using your God-given intelligence, your rational brain, your logic, any Christian who's using the mind of Christ and their God-given brain would have to agree that all these prophets with these all these revelations and dreams and stuff, missed the mark. They sinned. They gave you a false prophecy, a false idea of what's going to happen. And that caused tremendous destruction in the body of Christ and among Christians. Tremendous destruction, tremendous disillusionment, tremendous confusion, and unleashed the work of the devil among Christians in America and across the world. It opened the gates of hell for God's people to be attacked. Why? Because shrewd, smart, educated, intelligent, atheists, radical liberals, and others who don't believe in God, who don't read the Bible, who don't consult prophets, who don't claim to be saved, they weren't scouring the Twilight Zone for answers to what's going to happen next. They were using their rational minds, their logical minds, their perception, analysis of the facts. They were studying, they were gaining knowledge, they were gaining information. So their estimation of how the election was going to turn out was far, far more accurate than the people that were saying God showed them this and God showed them that. Now, I can see some people saying this. They might say, well, all those prophecies, all those dreams, all those words from God, they would have come true if the other side didn't cheat. Well, there's a big problem there. God's ability to put a man or a woman into office is not based on, it's not contingent upon whether whatever the other side is plays according to all the rules or not. If God is God Almighty, and He is, then God has the ability to override and overrule any funny business when it comes to the election. So you can't say, oh, it would have happened. Because what you're really saying, if you're taking what you said to its logical conclusion, you're saying that the plans of God were interrupted by the plans of men and women who organize against it. You're saying God's will was overruled by human beings, and that's impossible. If it was truly God's will, and these prophets were truly hearing from God, then it would have been impossible for there to have been a mistake. So it's not a mistake. So you have to deal with it. And that requires, and this is where there's a stronghold in the body of Christ in America and around the world. And remember, a stronghold is a satanically energized argument against us built on lies. And stronghold, the reason the stronghold, which is a satanically energized argument against us, has been able to establish itself in the minds and consciousness of millions of Christians in America and around the world, is because the leaders of evangelical Christians, the pastors and the teachers and the ministers and the evangelical church itself, when you have major flaws or lies in your so-called biblical theology, and you're believing things that just aren't true. And by that, what I mean is, if you're going to go out and willfully violate the principles of biblical interpretation, if you're going to willfully violate how to evaluate whether or not the person is a false prophet or a false teacher or a true teacher or a true prophet, then you're going to have to do your interpretation and your discernment according to what the Lord teaches us. So right at the very start, and this is where all eras always start, going back to Adam and Eve, all spiritual eras always start at this origination point. Adam and Eve, first Eve, their big sin, why they activated the law of sin and death, was because they rejected the word of God. They rejected the commandment of God in the word of God, and they rebelled, and they ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. They violated the law of God. They violated the commandment of God. They violated the word of God. And they opened up the gates of hell to destroy their paradise on earth. In addition, God only gave them one commandment. And then they were free to do whatever they wanted. That one commandment was, don't eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. So they disobeyed the word of God. So whenever you disobey the word of God, whenever you lower the word of God, whenever you elevate your own thinking, your own lust, your own desire above the word of God, you're going to crash and burn. That's God's warning. In the Old Testament, when God's people rejected the prophets, ignored the prophets, they always went into slavery. They were always killed and massacred. They always suffered a terrible price. Whenever God's people in the Old Testament, or even in modern times, whenever God's people reject or ignore the warnings of a watchman on a watchtower, when that watchman blows the trumpet of warning, shofar of warning, God's people are to hear it, rouse themselves, and prepare to defend themselves against the enemy's invasion. If they obey God and do that, they're protected and they're victorious. But if they choose, like Adam and Eve did, to reject the commandments of God and ignore the shofar or the trumpet blast of the watchman, and they don't do anything to rouse themselves from the attack of the enemy, then they're going to be slaughtered. And as God says, he said to the leaders of God's people, I'm going to hold the blood of the people to your account because you ignored willfully the trumpet and the warning of the watchman. See how it always comes down to the same thing? People blame God because they end up being sentenced to hell, the lake of fire, for all eternity. Forgetting that, no, they chose to sentence themselves to hell for all eternity. That's what they chose. So whenever God's people are snared and captured by the evil one, it always has to do with disobeying the primary commandments of God. And if you and I will learn that and we'll effectively communicate that to other people, we can set people free in our own lives. We can set ourselves free, our loved ones free, our children, people we work with, and ultimately we can set our nation free. The key is obeying the word of God and putting God's word first. The Bible says you never put supernatural experiences, you never put prophecies, dreams, visions, you never put any of that stuff first. You never put any of that stuff above the word of God. It's the word of God, sola scriptura, which is above everything else. And if you'll stay true to that fundamental biblical principle, you will be free. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Our goal, the passion that drives me to do what I do, is built on the fact that God called me many decades ago to communicate a biblical worldview, to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, to communicate the word of God to people all over the world, to function as an evangelist, to win souls to Christ. And God called me to do that decades and decades ago. And so today, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church continues to use every technological mechanism at our disposal to go into all the world and communicate a biblical worldview, make disciples of all nations, evangelize the lost, and spread the truth that will set people free, impart knowledge that will give people power to be free. And every one of you that has chosen to obey the Lord when the Lord speaks to you in a still small voice, when God calls you, God has called many of you to be prayer partners for me, my family, in this ministry. You're faithful to pray. When God speaks to you and to help spread our links to our various social media and internet platforms far and wide, you're obeying the Lord. And then when the Lord speaks to you in a still small voice, or puts it on your heart, or wakes you up in the middle of the night, and you sense or know that the Lord is asking you to make a donation or a financial contribution of a certain amount, whatever that amount is you've decided to obey the Lord, and you obey Him and give whatever amount that the Lord calls you to give. Then when people are obeying the Lord on those levels, you are partnering with me, Paul McGuire. You're partnering with Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church in evangelism, in making disciples, in communicating truth, in setting people free, in reaching people all over the world in the United States. You're partnering with me as an evangelist and a minister and a Bible teacher who has been supernaturally called by the Spirit of God to do the ministry that I'm doing. I didn't call myself. I didn't have some vain ego trip where I decided I was going to do this. I wasn't just looking for a job and decided to choose this one. I had plenty of jobs in my life, in media and everything else. I am doing what I'm doing for only one reason, and that is I know that I know that I know in my heart that God has supernaturally called me by His Spirit, and He's confirmed it with fruitfulness and an anointing. God has called me supernaturally by His Spirit to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to function as an apologist for the faith, to make disciples of all nations, to communicate effectively a biblical worldview, and to plant the seeds of revival and to help turn our nation and other nations around so that you as individuals or whatever nation you belong to, that each of us can fulfill our last day's assignment. And that's my call. And when I say it's my call, I'm not saying that merely on a human level. I'm not telling you that, you know, I had this fantasy in my head or this psychological idea, and if I pump myself up enough, you know, I can achieve it. No, I can't achieve anything apart from the Spirit of God. So, I want to thank God from the bottom of my heart for all of you that have been and are continuing to be faithful to pray for me and my family in this ministry, to spread our links and our platforms far and wide, and to give financially your donations and contributions. Give whatever amount that the Lord tells you to do with His still small voice. And whether it's a one-time large gift, like really large or medium-sized gift, or whether you give a regular-sized gift faithfully on a monthly basis, all of those gifts are equally important. Because when a lot of people give faithfully, you know, $25 a month or $100 $50 a month or $400 a month. When they give faithfully, it all adds up. And then somebody that the Lord has blessed in an unusual way obeys the Lord and they give a large amount, then that puts us over the top to really take new territory. But all of it together is important. It's important. And then, of course, without your prayers and prayer warfare, nothing could happen. And then your willingness to distribute our links and all our sites. Now, in a moment, I want to share with you two things. And both of these things can dramatically empower you and affect your life. And these things will supernaturally equip you, and prayerfully, they will give you the knowledge and wisdom you need to be a true overcomer, as the Bible calls you to be, to truly be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about some super spiritual, you know, let's go out in front of the store and sell Girl Scout cookies Christianity. I'm not knocking the Girl Scouts. Please, don't. God bless the Girl Scouts. As long as they're protected with safe adults in front of the stores when they're raising money with cookies or whatever. Not knocking the Girl Scouts. So, he is that we, each one of us is faithful, and that means different things to different people. We are faithful according to how much God has blessed or increased us. When God has given, here's the general rule, when God has given you a lot, when God speaks to you, most often, God will speak to you about giving or donating on a far higher level than an ordinary person, because God has blessed you on a far higher level than an ordinary person. But God's reward and favor also comes upon the person who gives a more modest amount, but that man or woman is faithful to give that amount every month. Month after month, year after year, decade after decade. That's partnership, because that person stays with you through thick and thin. You know, you have to pick somebody you believe is doing the work that God wants done. You have to pick somebody to partner with that you sense is really following the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And let me add that nobody, no minister is perfect. No ministry is perfect. But you have to make an appraisal. I have people who have been, I've had many people who, I thank God, they're faithful partners to this ministry with their prayers and their financial donations. And it goes back, I don't know, 20 or 30 years or more. And that's like a marriage. It's a beautiful thing because they're faithful in season and out of season. And the reason they're faithful, it's because they know that God called them to partner with me. And so their faithfulness comes out of obedience. That's critical. Now, the other thing is you're responsible to discern. If the minister, you know, I don't have jumbo jets, Rolls Royces, I don't live in a mansion, I live a middle-class life just like you do. The cars that I drive are deliberately average cars, middle-class cars. I remember when we had traded a car recently. Actually, it was a lease because we decided to lease. In our case, the lease was more prudent. But I told my kids as they went shopping with me and my wife, and the car guy, interestingly enough, the guy at the car dealership who was in charge of financing and stuff like that, very sharp guy, very nice guy, but he knew me. He had been listening to me for years on Magnum Report, and and God set that up. And I just talked to him privately, you know. There's nothing wrong with you driving a more high-end car than me. There's nothing wrong with that, or a more modest car. It depends on your situation. If you're tight financially, you have to budget, which means you're going to drive a modest car. But there are some of you that the businesses that you're in, the people that you mix with, your business, you have to. It's not because you're egotistical. You have to show up and drive a higher-end car. And that might be a Tesla, a BMW, a Mercedes. It might even be a Rolls Royce. It's not because you're covetous. It's because the circles that you move in, it's expected, or you're not able to conduct business. Well, as a minister of the gospel, if I was to drive cars like that, it would be a stumbling block to people. So I don't. I don't begrudge it. I don't really care. What's more important to me is that when people see me and they see the car that I drive or the other things about my lifestyle, they understand that I choose to be a steward, and I do drive a more modest, medium range car, etc. Why? Because I don't want my actions or activity and choices to be a stumbling block to a believer. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you can be confident when you give or donate to Paul McGuire Ministries, because I try to put those principles first. We're going to be back in just a moment. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. If the Lord is prompting you to make a donation right now, or a gift or a contribution, all you have to do is go to paulmcguire.us, and you can donate securely online through different payment systems, credit cards, PayPal, whatever you choose. They're all secure. And you just write in the amount the Lord has put on your heart, and you can make a donation instantaneously. Or if you want to purchase books, you can take advantage of the book bundle, and you can do it all electronically. It's all secure, and that's how we partner together. That's how we move forward together. Why? Because look, let's face it, we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Yes, that's the title of my latest book. But it also reflects the epicenter of my heart, the epicenter of our mission and ministry at Paul McGuire Ministries, and that's this. It's all hands on deck, because we're fighting the greatest spiritual battle, and that battle is raging inside of the hearts and minds of mankind everywhere in the USA and across planet Earth right now. The battle is not so much an external battle as it is an internal battle. Young people, people you know, yourself, the war is going on in our heads, our imaginations, our thoughts. That's where we're potentially deceived. That's where the devil assaults us. So that's why I said with the title of my book, we are in the greatest battle, that's true, for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So the battle is going on inside people's hearts, their emotions, their thoughts, and it's going on inside of their minds. That's where everything we do at Paul McGuire Ministries is designed to win the warfare that is raging in the hearts and minds of people. You know, the Bible says that for the God of this age, that means Satan, for the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever, or the unbelieving, that they might not see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So one of Satan's most powerful supernatural weapons is to blind people, both believers and unbelievers, from seeing just who Jesus Christ really is, just what the truth of the Bible is really all about. The devil's in the business of blinding people so they can't see that. For the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So people are walking around and there's evidence and people are ministering to them and God's speaking to them. God is revealing his glory, his light or truth to them. But it's like somebody put a brick wall in front of their eyes. They can't see the obvious because the God of this age, Satan, is using his supernatural power to blind the minds of the unbelieving so that they cannot see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Our job is to break through that fog by being effective, by seeking God, by being anointed, by being Bible-centered, and to use every mechanism and platform at our disposal to save souls. And that requires an intense spiritual battle that's going on in their hearts and minds. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report, and this is also a ministry of Paradise Mountain Church International. And our goal is to reach people as fast as we can because time is running out. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. One thing I want to share with you really quickly, very important. We're talking about how you can't understand what is going to happen next or what's about to happen unless you understand the historical past and how the past affects the present and the present affects the future or what's going to happen next. So we see all these models in history. I have them laid out for you simply in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And in the book, Conquering the Matrix, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, and other books, like The Day the Dollar Died. They're all discounted right now, and you can get them at paulmcguire.us. What you need to know very quickly is that these spiritual warfare that we're involved in has happened in the past. It happened in the beginning of America. It happened in the 1900s. Some of this stuff is repetitive. And you have to understand that there are basic truths that evangelical Christians insist on rejecting the truth and believing a lie. One truth is that the reality is that our nation and the world is largely controlled by what would be called an invisible elite that operate an economic global system, a new world order, a one world government, a one world religion, a one world economic system. They're operating it not only according to economic, scientific, technological principles, but they're operating their new world order by utilizing occult principles. You flip over the back of a dollar, you see a pyramid. That's not an accident. The pyramid is an occult symbol. And that pyramid has the all-seeing eye of Lucifer towards the top of the pyramid. And on the base of the pyramid, it says, Nuvos Order Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages or New World Order. And then on the right-hand side of the dollar bill, you see it's not a turkey, it's not an eagle, it's a phoenix bird. A phoenix is a legendary occult symbol and bird, which is burned up in the ashes, and then it resurrects from the ashes, or it rises from the ashes, and that's a symbol of the old world order being destroyed and burning up, and then experiencing a resurrection from the ashes of the old order And what is resurrected is a new world order. And you've got to understand the bullet points of this because they're imperative. So when you read my book, The Greatest Battle, you'll read how one of the greatest scientists and intellectuals, Sir Francis Bacon, the father of the scientific method, he believed that America was destined, and he was writing this in the 1600s. He believed America was destined to be the head of the New World Order, and he believed that America was destined to be the New Atlantis. So he was secretly a high-powered occultist, the head of the Rosicrucian movement, influential in the establishment of the Illuminati, a super genius intellectually. He knew his homework, like I've been talking about, but he also believed in Illuminati and occult principles. So when you just, one little thing, and I explain it all in my book, The Greatest Battle, that one parcel of information is all important because it's the template for the game plan for the United States. Yeah, the Pilgrims and Puritans were essential in building a biblical foundation. But the occultists, the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, snuck here simultaneously on great sailing ships, and they landed and established cities and stuff along the Pacific coast. But they were not Christians. They were Illuminists and occultists. And all the architecture of the United States was designed by a Freemason. The giant phallic symbol monument of the Washington Monument, the giant womb-like structure, the Capitol Dome, that goes right back to ancient mystery Babylon and connects with the account of Nimrod, the creator of Mystery Babylon, and Semiramis, who was the wife of Nimrod. And Semiramis, the womb structure. Nimrod, the phallic symbol structure. So that occult symbolism, you find it in Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. You find it in ancient Egypt. You find it in the Vatican. You find it in Great Britain. You find it in the United States of America, Washington, D.C., and it's always saying the same thing. There's the phallic symbol and the womb. This goes back to an ancient occult religion which is obsessed with sexuality that began at ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, and this secret occult system, which still governs the majority of the world, especially the USA, is known as Mystery Babylon. And so when you read the book of Revelation, you will see the account of how Babylon the Great has fallen. And you see Mystery Babylon returning in the book of Revelation. So my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, will help you connect the dots. So will my book, Conquering the Matrix, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2. So will the other books we have for you available at a book bundle. Knowledge is power. Get it. Get it so you can be an overcomer. God bless you. This is your brother in Christ. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Spread these messages far and wide. And know all of our alternative social media and internet platforms. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire.